Diana Dilworth is a filmmaker and journalist. Her latest documentary is called Melodrama, the Mellotron Movie. It explores the history of a musical instrument that's been featured on such classic rock songs as The Beatles' Strawberry Fields Forever and The Moody Blues' Nights in White Satin.
The Mellotron is a tape replay keyboard instrument, meaning that it is a keyboard that replays the sound of other instruments like flutes, violins, oboes, and it does so through a technology of using magnetic tapes. So inside the keyboard, instead of having, you know, a digital interface or a computer or even like a piano, which has strings inside of it, the Mellotron actually has tapes. So it has pre-recorded strips of each note of another instrument. So for example, a violin or a flute.
It makes the actual sounds of the orchestra.
Well, we can't really talk about this without talking about Harry Chamberlain, who was the guy who built the original instrument, the one before the Mellotron. Maybe you could tell me about Harry, first of all.
Well, Harry Chamberlain invented this whole concept. And, you know, while Mellotrons aren't necessarily the most well-known instruments, they are a lot more well-known than the Chamberlain. Harry Chamberlain was an organ player and a bit of a kind of home inventor. He came up with lots of inventions in his house for all kinds of products in the late 40s. And he basically made recordings of himself playing his organ because he had a tape recorder. And he came up with this idea that, well, if he can record himself playing the organ, why not play other instruments on tape? So he decided that he could record other musicians, and he got the Lawrence Welk Orchestra, some of those musicians, to come in and record, you know, single notes, and he put those inside of an organ to play back as an instrument itself.
One of the interesting things about this, for those who like Rube Goldberg, is that it really is a contraption. And this is not just tape loops either, is it? These sounds are designed so that it'll sound as though you are attacking the note. You're not just playing a sound over and over and over again.
Exactly. In fact, one of the misconceptions is that it's tape looped, but it's actually not looped. It's only an 8-second piece of tape. So as you attack it, it's stronger than, you know, if you come 4 seconds into the tape strip.
Now, we can't really talk about the Chamberlain and the Mellotron either without talking about a guy named Bill Franson, because he's the link between the two, isn't he?
Exactly. Franson worked for Harry Chamberlain, and he basically stole Harry Chamberlain's idea. He took two Chamberlains to England, so the story goes, and he presented them to a manufacturing company because what he wanted to do was to really get it out there. And he knew that it was a great idea. And Harry was, while Harry was, you know, really trying to advance it, he was kind of a stickler for what he wanted. And he wasn't so open, and it wasn't necessarily getting the huge draw that Bill saw the potential for. So Bill took these instruments to England, and he presented them as his own instruments. He called them the Franzen, and he teamed up with a manufacturing company that he wanted to make them a little bit more professional because Harry's were a little bit homemade, quite frankly. So he teamed up with Bradley Manufacturing, and they started making Mellotrons.
So effectively, Chamberlain had to enter negotiations with the Bradley brothers?
Basically, yes. And there were two companies. The Bradley brothers were the manufacturing arm in England, and then they needed money because it was a big investment, and Mellotronics became the organization that financed the marketing and sales and development. Harry ended up finding out about this later on, and they worked out a deal where Harry would focus on the U.S. market and they would focus on the British market, which was kind of easy to do in a way because these things were huge and they were very expensive to move around.
Yeah. But there are differences between them. Harry was a stickler for sound, and I gather that the engineers at Mellotron were, well, they were better at making furniture.
Exactly. Harry Chamberlain's tapes are incredible, and they were very, very well recorded, and he was adamant about getting them perfect. So his sounds are much better. But in terms of the machining and the physical building of the actual instruments, the Mellotrons are much more solid and much more professionally manufactured instruments.
Of course, it was the mellotron that got the most attention, partly because there are some very famous songs that feature the mellotron. The Beatles used it. Strawberry Fields Forever. Let me take you down. The Moody Blues used it.
He played everything to me on the acoustic guitar, and I would sit at a piano, or in this case, the mellotron. And as he played the song, I would just da 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 da. Nights in White Satin, da 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 da. I'm reaching the end, da 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 da. So it was the filler to these sort of sparse vocal sections that he had. Beauty I'd always missed with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore.
King Crimson used it on In the Court of the Crimson King. Genesis used it. Led Zeppelin used it, the Rolling Stones used it, 2,000 Light Years from Home. It was really picked up. And yes, the mellotron is much more famous because there were more made and more sold, and they were picked up on by these big British bands. Mike Pinder from the Moody Blues actually worked for the mellotron factory when he was first getting started. And so he managed to buy a used mellotron, and he introduced it to the Beatles, and that was really influential. And obviously anything the Beatles touched, we've heard about.
What happened? Did modern technology catch up? Is that why the Chamberlain, the mellotron, started falling out of favor?
Oh, absolutely. In the 60s when it came out, it was revolutionary. This was in, you know, mid-60s when it really came to market. And then, you know, it was on a lot of records. And in the 70s, it became a very defining instrument for the progressive rock bands, including Yes, Genesis, King Crimson. And then it was very big and bombastic, and that sound, I think, got tired, as well as the technology, and digital sampling got better. And these instruments were notorious for breaking down, and they were notorious for not being reliable, and therefore musicians got rid of them.
But of course, they seem to be coming back a little bit now. What's happened? Is it just interest in antiques?
The 90s saw a real resurgence in a lot of bands. It's a special sound, and I think that any interesting sound musicians are looking to get their hands on. There is an interest in vintage-inspired sounds, but I also think that there are bands that are kind of trying to do new things with these sounds. And so in the 90s, a lot of companies started making samples, and so it's a lot more ubiquitous. And even though the mellotrons are still very expensive, you can buy new ones and you can buy used ones, but they're all quite expensive and they only have 3 sounds. So it's not necessarily the best investment, whereas you can buy samples for a couple $100s and they sound pretty good. You know, obviously the purists would never use samples versus the original instrument, but because of that, more people have access to it. So,
of course, the Chamberlain had 8 sounds, didn't it? So it was a vastly more adaptable instrument.
Exactly. Although the mellotron, at least the common 70s model, the M400, you were able to change tapes, so you could have more than 3 sounds as well. Whereas the Chamberlains, you couldn't change the tapes.
One of the things I thought might account for the resurgence is that you can play with a mellotron. You can adapt the sound. You can actually do the same thing with a mellotron in a sense that you see DJs doing with turntables. You can tap the wheels as they go around and make the sound vary. And you can't do that very well with a digital sampler, at least not in the same way.
Exactly. I think a lot of people still love to use the original instruments because you can physically manipulate the instrument itself. You can slow down the pitch bend, the flywheel can be played. There's a player called Patrick Warren who plays on a ton of records. He plays with Seal and Michael Penn and Amy Mann, and he is just a master of really manipulating the actual physical instrument itself, which, you know, you can't really do with your eyes through MIDI on the computer screen.
In your film, in fact, the singer-songwriter Michael Penn says he thinks Harry Chamberlain invented sampling. Do you agree with that?
I think that Harry Chamberlain was very early with the idea. I mean, there were other schools of people doing these things in France. There was the music concrete movement, and they were, you know, making splice tape experiments. I think it was an era of experimentation, but I think that he was very early, and he created one of the first modern samplers.
So how do you think the Chamberlin, the Mellotron, have influenced popular music?
Well, I think the whole concept of one player to sit down and play multiple sounds and multiple layered instruments was really influential. The idea that you could have a flute and a piano and a violin and an oboe and a rhythm box going along to that. I mean, Harry Chamberlin actually invented one of the first drum machines called the Rhythm Mate. The idea of that is very much what we take for granted today. Anybody can have a home studio and on their laptop have all of these sounds. And I think that that's where its importance lies.
Yeah.
Harry Chamberlin was an inventor, but he was sort of a homegrown inventor. He used scientific methods. He recorded and found sounds and put it together and manufactured these instruments. But he did so wanting to create an instrument. I mean, he was an organ player. He wanted to be able to have accompaniments to go with him. So he set about and he made these instruments. So I think it's a really nice marriage of art and science and in a sort of homegrown way.
That's Michael Penn with Long Way Down, featuring Patrick Warren playing the Chamberlin. Diana Dilworth is the director of Melodrama, the Mellotron movie.